And the first, most common myth, and the one least well supported by evidence, is the money myth. And you heard a little bit of this summarized in the Stossel segment. And this is the notion that schools would do better if only we gave them more money. You hear this all the time. It's in, as I understand it, the governor's budget proposal today, is that resources for education need to be increased. Similarly, there's a potential constitutional amendment that may be on the ballot this fall in Michigan, guaranteeing a certain rate of increase in resources for public schools. Again, it shows the centrality of the belief, the myth, that schools would do better if only we gave them more money, that their current problems are due to a lack of resources. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with having more money. As a general rule, it's better to have more money than less. But, unfortunately, our experience tells us, the evidence tells us, that there is not a good relationship between additional resources and improved student achievement. And so, money, the evidence tells us, is not the primary problem in education, and additional money alone will not solve our problem. Now here, you get some idea of who tells us that we're horribly lacking in money. This should all be quite familiar to you, so no need to go over it all in detail, but everyone will repeat that schools are desperately underfunded and need more money. I mean, even National Public Radio accepts an ad, oh, I'm sorry, as an underwriter, a foundation that says that they serve underfunded city schools. They're underfunded? How do we know? But there it is every day on NPR. Okay, so one of the reasons why people buy this myth is they usually have no idea how much we spend on schools. And so it's first useful to just grasp the scale of spending. Right now, we spend actually about $10,000 per pupil per year. Now, using figures from the Digest of Education Statistics, which lags a few years behind, and are the numbers also found in the book, it's up to about $9,000 as of 2001-2002. But current information from the U.S. Department of Ed is over $10,000. Now, with almost 50 million students in public K-12 education, we're talking about an annual expenditure of over $500 billion. Now, how big is that? How much is that? To put it in perspective, it's more than we spend on national defense. In fact, President Bush's defense budget proposal for next year is a defense budget of $439 billion. I believe there's an additional supplement in there of $50 billion for Iraq, and perhaps that's too low. Perhaps we'll really be spending, you know, $500 billion or so, or maybe a little more on national defense. But how much we spend on education is a little bit more than how we spend on national defense, what we spend on national defense, even in wartime. Okay? It's also bigger than the entire value of goods and services produced in Russia converted into U.S. dollars. This is not true in purchasing power parity, I should warn you, that, which actually is the better way to do it. But if we just took the total value of goods and services produced in Russia, converted them into U.S. dollars, it would be about the same as what we spend every year on public K-12 education. So, it's a lot of money. It's also a lot more than what we used to spend. Adjusted for inflation, we've doubled per pupil spending. This is according to the U.S. Department of Education statistics. Adjusted for inflation, we have pretty much steadily increased per pupil spending by inflation plus about 2% every year. More or less. I mean, there are times when it goes up at a faster rate, times when it goes up at a slower rate, but that's been the average rate over the last 30 years. And yet, during this time, what's happened with student achievement? Well, if we look at the results on the National Assessment of Educational Progress, the NAEP, which is our best long-term gauge of student achievement, and if we look at the results for 17-year-olds who are the end product of our K-12 system, what we see is basically no change in student skills over this period. You can see that the average scale score has not changed a bit in the last 30 years. In reading and in math, there's been a tiny change which is not statistically significant. So basically, student skills are flat, spending has doubled. Anytime you double your input and get no additional outcome, you have a problem. Any industry that spent twice as much to produce nothing more would be out of business. In fact, the normal pattern in industry is to spend less to produce more. And here we have the exact opposite. So we essentially have a productivity crisis in education. Now, I should emphasize that the results are flat. They're not down. There's another chapter in the book called The Myth of Decline. There are some people who say, oh, kids are so much dumber than they used to be. Things were better when I was a kid. Education was more rigorous. In general, that's not true. In general, things are about the same as they've been for a long time. Now, it's slightly reassuring that we're not worse, but it shouldn't be too reassuring, because as we've stayed flat, everyone else is moving forward. So other industrialized countries that used to lag us regularly in achievements, measures of achievement, are now surpassing us. And even some non-industrialized countries, China, India, are catching up with us pretty rapidly. And so if we wish to maintain our higher standard of living over the long haul, we have to do something about skills and improving skills and not just holding steady.